Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm just talking about the phone number.
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Jackson, and this is Blog Talk Radio. I'm speaking here live with Tina O'Banion. Tina O'Banion has a six-year-old autistic son, and she would like to shed a little bit of light on what has happened, what's transpired over the past few months with her son as in the school system. And Tina, I welcome you and to Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Tina, due to the, a little update now here is that your due process was withdrawn?
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit?
We just kind of hit some bumps in the road. The advocate that had filed the due process, there was some rigids there. So when we had talking to an attorney, he felt that it was probably in the best interest to just withdraw the due process. So that's what we did at the time. And then if we felt we needed to refile with the attorney, then we could do so.
I see. Okay. So that was an update for us all here just recently, including Tina. Thank you for the update too, Tina.
Sure.
I know... due to some legal implications, we are not able to expound upon certain subjects, and so we don't further damage the case that we will not be expounding on those today.
Right.
One of them is the mentioning of your son's name, and
right.
The other one will be mentioning anybody's name in particular that might have, just the particulars that might have to do with allegations such as abuse, neglect, mistreatment, because those can be very harsh charges. Now, it's not to say that those charges will be filed, and it's not to say that they will be found. And in fact, the evidence would certainly be supportive of your case in particular. I really have. Feeling on anyway. Call it a gut instinct, call it what you will, but maybe it's just me being another parent that this shouldn't be allowed to happen. And
right.
I'm glad that you spoke up, and I thrive on you guys as parents in your encouragement to us all to speak up, to be able to speak up like you have, and I really appreciate that. I want you to know that ahead of time.
Thank you.
Tina, your son, can you give us a brief explanation of what happened at the very beginning of how this all originated?
Last year we didn't know that my son had Asperger's, and over the summer he got kicked out the last 5 weeks of school last year. And through the summer, they wouldn't let him attend summer school. So we took him and we got him some testing. We took him to a different doctor, got him on different meds. The testing came back at the beginning of school. The doctor and I met with them, tried to get a plan in place. We thought that the year would be better, and it really didn't start out that way with multiple restraints all the time.
Right.
The restraints being four or five adults on him, usually at a time. Most of them with no training. He was being hurt. He was being set outside in the cold for timeout.
My goodness.
It just kept getting worse.
Tina, have you heard of other parents in the same school system that have maybe the same or likewise somewhat of the same circumstances from that school?
Yes, to an extent, the restraints as far as the physical hasn't been as bad.
Okay.
However, the parents are also receiving phone calls, you know, daily. Please come and get your kid. So parents are having to leave work, you know, halfway through their work day to pick up their kid.
Yes.
You know, and it's all kids with disabilities that the school just really doesn't want to deal with.
Okay, so it is it's a school basically designed for children with differing abilities. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's just a regular public school.
Okay.
They're supposed to try to make accommodations, you know, because all these kids that they're sending home have IEPs.
I see. Can you enlighten me on to, okay, you've mentioned personal holding restraints. Obviously, it took, how big is your son?
He is right at 50 pounds.
50 pounds. And
yeah,
you're talking about five adults having to pin this child down?
Yeah.
Five adults. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. They said that they couldn't hold him.
They can't hold him?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would take.
Other than personal holding restraint, Tina, and I do have some experience with restraints. I want to put it out there so that I do have some experience with restraints. I've been well-versed on them. I attended DHS seminars on personal holding restraints, different ways that you can use to alleviate having to restrain someone. And
right.
I know in the state of Maine anyway, they're going away from, which I'm glad to see, any type of restraints on having to restrain a child.
Right.
You know, specifically a child, because there really isn't a probable cause to do so, you know? Tina, is your child destructive? Is your child, when he's having to be restrained, before the restraint, a personal holding restraint is put upon him, say even one adult individual holding him down, let alone five people? Is your child just uncontrollable? Have you seen this?
No, and that's just it. When he goes to his doctor for meds, she refuses to change his medicine because school is the only place he's having problems. So she feels that the school needs to learn to deal with him as opposed to us changing his meds. We don't see the behaviors at home. We don't see the explosiveness.
Oh.
Yes, he gets upset, but nothing major. They sent a note home one day saying that he had to be restrained for 45 minutes twice of the morning because he didn't comply with directions. That afternoon, they sent a note home saying that he was restrained / held in his chair because he tore up his spelling paper.
Restrained for tearing up his spelling paper?
Yeah.
Okay. But he wasn't destructive. He wasn't combative at the time. He wasn't, I mean, according to their own reports, proof is in the documentation. I'll tell you where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Documentation, if it didn't get documented, then it didn't get done. So obviously
right.
It proved in their documentation that he was not uncontrollable.
Right, right.
Correct? So why did they need to restrain him is really probably your question as well.
Right, yeah. It has been a question of mine, and we've had some people from Impact working directly with us and the school, and she has asked many times, you know, what do these explosive behaviors look like? How does it go from him tearing up his spelling paper to five adults being on top of him? Because we really don't understand. And
right.
The only answer that we get is that that's what they feel they need to do to keep people safe. Even though they clear out the classroom and he might only be the only child in there, you know, what's the need? So
wow.
I think that my son begins to feel threatened.
Wow, tearing up the healing paper. That's really detrimental to others around me, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Tina, have you heard of any other has there been any documentation from the school system on any other types of restraint being used?
No, they told us that they got their training from a local behavioral hospital and that they use Satori. I refused to sign a piece of paper on the 27th saying that anybody could restrain him, whether they've had training or not.
That's right.
That particular day, that was in January, that particular day, they sent over information to the juvenile office. He was out. The next day he went to school, and then we were both kicked out of the school, and he didn't go back.
How was that done? How was you kicked?
She pretty much told me to get my son and get the hell out of her school, that my son was never held accountable for anything that he did.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was standing right there and heard the whole thing because he was upset. He wanted to continue working in his workbook, and they told him no, and then they told him yes. So he was a little confused whether or not he could. And he threw some plastic Legos, which I know are very detrimental. And, she kicked us out of the school when I went to pick him up. So he never went back. We met with the superintendent, and now he's currently going to the second grade school. Even though he's in first grade, he's missing out on all the field trips to the zoo, the pumpkin patch, you know, whatever the kids in his grade are doing, he's missing. And he only gets to go to school from noon to 3.
And their reason for that?
Originally it was they thought the transition would be hard and he couldn't go of a morning because they have another child that has some aggressive tendencies, so they didn't want my son and the other child at school at the same time of a morning.
I see. So they couldn't accommodate for both children at the same time.
Right.
Okay. Okay, that sounds like it's boundaries for something else, and
right.
I encourage on that as well. Obviously, can you explain what you had seen? Okay, you mentioned your child was left out in the cold. Can you explain that real briefly?
I actually was called to the school to pick him up, and when I got there, the school police officer's car was outside. And as I got out of my car, I could hear my son screaming. So I get inside the double doors, and there's a big window where you check your child out. And my son is laying in the floor with a police officer on his feet and a teacher at each arm. And he's on his back, and I go in and I pick him up, and he's complaining that his back hurts. That's when he was restrained and got the carpet burn. I took him to the doctor that afternoon. When I got talking to him to find out what had happened, why he was upset, then he said they were being mean. And, you know, kids, so you say, who's being mean? The teachers. Well, how are they being mean? He said, they made me sit outside. Outside where? By the trailer door. With who? Nobody. Why? Because I was in trouble. He was like, I just wanted my coat. I was cold. It was 43 degrees that day. And he actually went to school late that day because he had an ear infection, and I took him to the doctor for an antibiotic before I took him to school. And I let his para know that when I dropped him off.
Okay, you say his para. So he had somebody that he's paired with at the school working with him?
Right.
At the time, was that para a one-on-one or a one-on-two?
It was supposed to be, originally at the beginning of the year, we requested a one-on-one, and they said that they would have somebody available for Dallas. So, I don't know.
Was that their IEP in his IEP?
That they would be available. Then when we took him to Columbia, then the doctor there requested that he be put as a one-on-one because he's a low-risk also.
Okay, what did the school say to the one-on-one?
Then they changed it.
Uh-huh.
So then he was made to be a one-on-one.
But after the incident...
That's what they say. I don't really know for sure, and it was never put in the IEP.
And you should have been informed, and you should have signed it. If it was an IEP, you would have signed that and signed over rights.
Right.
To that IEP so that they could do what they need to do, which you would not agree to. So
no.
I couldn't see it being in an IEP, right?
Right.
Okay. you mentioned some carpet burns. What else did you happen to see from this school system restraining your child?
He has bruises quite often. I took pictures of one of the bruises. It's on his arm.
Okay.
I picked him up that day, walked in. There was three teachers on top of him. He was actually on his stomach that day.
On
I went
stomach?
In and picked him up. Yes.
Okay, can I back you up just 1 second? On his stomach, how many people were present?
The principal and the nurse was sitting in a chair watching, and then there was three teachers.
School?
One was laying, yes.
What about the police officer, the school police officer?
He was not there that day.
Ah, okay.
And this is the day that they said that he assaulted a teacher and they pressed the felony charges against him.
I would also, Tina, look into your whatever system that they said that they were using to look up that system. You mentioned, I'm sorry, I have a short-term memory here, but what system were they using, a restraining system that they said they were trained by?
Satori.
Satori. Okay, I would encourage you or your lawyer to look up the Satori. If you haven't already, I'm sure you probably have.
Yes.
But in that they must have a clause in there about something to do with what's called restraint asphyxiation, and that's
right.
When... you are placed on your stomach, your diaphragm doesn't move up and down as it should, you're deprived of oxygen, and you can die. So I know that's what's taught around my neck of the woods, so I would encourage you to look into the Satori a little bit more. So I'm sorry I cut you off, but I really think that's important for you and your lawyers to talk about as well.
Right.
Restraint asphyxiation is so It's crazy that Tina, law enforcement officers are even trained not to use it anymore.
Right.
I was an EMT for 12 years. I ran an ambulance service. We were trained not to use, restraints unless we had
right.
to, and that was only soft restraints. If we needed it, and that was bandages and gauzes, And
right,
if we needed
right.
your support person, hey, we called the police officer. What better person
right.
to do that?
Right.
But this isn't speaking with adults with behavioral emergencies. I'm not speaking about a 50-pound child with
right.
a 200, say at least 250 to 500 pounds on top of him. Now, that's just
right.
crazy. And you're going to get bruises from that.
Right.
I also, being an EMT for 12 years, I have trained with Dr. David. He was the chief medical examiner for the state of Maine for a long time. We went through I went through a lot of training on child abuse, neglect, mistreatment, saw lots of videos, even cases that were closed, but available, and they were just very graphic, very detailed.
Right.
And I wouldn't advise anybody to see them. But what you saw in your son, I'm a little bit... I'm not speaking to you as a professional anymore, okay? But I am speaking to you from my own personal experience, and take it as you will. But the restraint, the personal holding restraints that they used on him, where were the bruises? Were there any bruises located on a tender part of his body? Where a bruise normally wouldn't be if you just fell.
Yeah, like the upper arms by your muscles.
Okay,
yeah, he had bruises all the way down, and which were from holding him.
From holding him, okay.
Right.
Allegedly holding him. I do want to put that out there But I mean, we know. I mean, you know, you can see it.
Right.
It's graphical in presentation. These bruises, did they look like fingerprint bruises at all? Could you count the number
no.
of fingers on it? Anything like
no,
that?
No, it was a big circle bruise, and then down from it there was a big scratch, like a fingernail maybe caught him.
I see.
But it was a big round bruise. It didn't look like fingers. No, it was a big bruise.
I ask you a question. The people that you've seen your son in some of these restraints and stopped them,
right.
correct? Okay.
Yes.
Were there any of these individuals that were supposedly trained under the system, did they have long fingernails? Did they wear watches, metal equipment,
yes.
necklaces? Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but from where I'm sitting, that's a big no-no as well. If I'm to do a personal holding restraint, number one, I'm going to be logging it, documenting it all the way through. Certain people have to know about it. I would imagine the school would have to keep record of it.
Right.
And you, as a parent, should be privy to that information. Were you immediately privy to that information?
No, there were days that he would come home and I would have to ask, how was your day? Did you get restrained? Otherwise, I would receive nothing. You know, and then if he said, yes, I got restrained, I would call the school. Yeah, they didn't usually send notes home. They would call me only if they wanted me to come and get him at the time. There was days that I had to go get him at noon because he didn't want to go to lunch.
Have you requested all documentation by the school, any or all documentation? Have you requested it?
Yes.
The school? Okay. Have you gotten anything from the school?
I got the majority of everything that I wanted at the last IEP that we had at that particular school. They said that they were keeping record of every restraint that they had done, where it happened, and who was restraining him.
Okay.
And I wanted copies of that, and still have yet to get those, and I requested those back in January.
Okay. I'd also check in with your attorney, check into the laws of how long it's supposed to take for that school department to release that information to you, because I do know in our state there are certain restrictions as to how long it takes you to give a parent the information that they've requested. You have a certain amount of days. So
right.
if your attorney hasn't checked into that, I would encourage that as well.
Right.
We've spoken a little bit, touched a little bit on the abuse. Your son. Describe how he is at home.
He's not a bad kid. He's real quiet. He likes his things in a certain spot. Even not having a routine doesn't really seem to faze him a lot. He just likes his things where they're at. He needs a little extra help. Sometimes he doesn't understand what you want him to do. You might have to rephrase it a couple of times until he understands what you're asking him to do. But he's not a bad kid at all. I don't have any problems with him. I don't have the aggression. Certainly don't have to restrain him. You know, and he's not my only child. I have two other kids too. You know,
right.
So it's not like he gets one-on-one at home, because he doesn't.
Right, right. How is he with the other siblings?
Good. And he is held accountable for what he does. He has to, you know, clean up his own messes and, you know, he'll clean his room. He is definitely held accountable. At school, I didn't always hold him accountable because I don't see the point in bringing him home and punishing him for something that happened at school, for one, because by then he's forgotten about it, and for two, I never really knew if it was him or if it was the school that should have been punished.
Well, you got a point there. You got a very good point there.
Punish him for something that my gut's telling me he didn't do wrong.
Exactly. And if they didn't show the documentation, then what do you have to go by? You
right.
have your son to go by, and I'm definitely going to believe my son over anybody.
Right. The day that they pressed the charges against him for this supposed bite was they pressed the charges on the 25th and filed the report with the sheriff's department. for something that had happened on the 25th. Well, when I requested his disciplinary record from the school, there was nothing documented from the 25th, not a restraint, not any kind of assault, not nothing. Nothing was documented for that day.
Okay. Had it ever been documented after the fact?
To my knowledge, no.
To your knowledge.
The last record, the last behavior record that I requested from the school, it was no place on there.
And as a parent, you should have been privy to that information, correct?
Right.
Yep. Okay. Can you tell me about maybe even before all these, before the very first incident happened, when your son was in school, before they started having to restrain him, has he always been restrained since he's gone to that school, or has he been gradually restrained and then all of a sudden, whammo, he's being restrained every day?
He's always been restrained. It was kind of like that last year, restrained all the time. Yeah, I was literally leaving work 2 to 3 times a week. He was put in a hospital for 9 days. Then the last part of the year, they said, okay, he can't come back until you get a med eval. We'll send a teacher to your house 5 hours a week. So that's what happened. Well, during that time, we got the med eval, and so I was hoping that he could attend summer school. So when I went to the school to take my other son to summer school, because they're in the same grade, then they said, no, we don't think that that's a good idea because the class that he had enrolled in was going to be going on field trips. And I said, well, there's other classes. Can't he just choose a different class? The other special ed teacher was also going to be teaching a class, but it was going to be outside most of the time because it was a camping class, and they didn't feel that my son was suited to go to that either, to be outside.
And their reason?
They didn't really give me one. So he was refused to go to summer school, too. So I asked him, what do you want me to do? Send my son to school in a cage for you guys? He's not allowed to go outside. He's not allowed to go on field trips.
And if you go if you're at work, you're always under the constant idea that you could be called. You're like the 24/7 on-call mom, which nobody should have to be in having their children sent to school for what they are sent to school for, and that is for a proper education without discrimination, you know, without the unnecessary, I'm going to say, go and say alleged unnecessary restraints, but the proof is in the pudding. You know, no documentation.
Right.
Hey, no documentation. You didn't document it. You didn't write it. It didn't get done.
Right.
So,
and I just want to say, you know, I've really done everything that I can do to try to help this school, thinking that it was just a lack of education on their behalf.
Right.
And, like, even last year, I work in the health field. I quit my job because I was so worried about leaving work all the time to go get my son that I quit my job, took a night shift job at a gas station making minimum wage so that I was available during the day and didn't have to worry about getting in trouble at work.
Wow.
This year I was hoping that the year would be better, so I enrolled in college classes myself for 2 days a week, and it was like 8 to noon. I had to drop my second semester because I was missing so much from having to go get him.
So you've obviously done a large part in this to try to make accommodations for the school.
Right. And I think that as a parent, you don't understand that what they're doing is wrong, that they're really not allowed to do it. I mean, as a parent, you just think, well, that's their protocol. That's what they do. But that's not the case, and that's not what they should be doing.
Yeah, right. Tina, do they have a seclusion room at the school?
No. And actually, all their special ed kids are in a trailer behind the school. So their classrooms aren't even within the school building.
I see. Okay. So we got a little bit of, I'm sorry, I'm going to back up a little bit here. We've got 15 minutes left in the program, okay? A little bit of history on, without really going into any major detail, your son was diagnosed by a professional with autism.
Yes. He started seeing a new psychologist, and he suspected it. Just the tics, certain little things. He said that's a sign of autism, and we took him for the testing to another doctor in town that done the testing, and it came back. He fell into the severe Asperger's range.
Okay.
She said the only thing that kept him from the autism side was that he's verbal.
Okay. There was no developmental delays early on or anything. It was mostly
right.
High functioning, higher IQ than
right.
than the average norm. Yes. Okay. So he was diagnosed with Asperger's by a professional.
Right.
Did school recognize this as being Asperger's, or did they recognize this as being a say, oppositional defiant disorder, bipolar, or any other thing separate from
Asperger's? Last year they did. Last year they did have him labeled as emotionally disturbed. This year they said that they do not recognize Asperger's, and they requested to leave it in his IEP that he is emotionally disturbed. And I said, absolutely not.
Okay.
It's a form of autism. Call it what it is.
Right.
So they changed it to the autism range.
I think
the school does still see him as just ODD, and he doesn't want to do what they're saying. But it's
right.
Like his doctor said, kids that are ODD don't do what you're asking, period. That's just
but
it.
School, even if he was oppositionally defiant disorder, he still has a place in that classroom.
Right,
so,
right, correct.
You know, so they're wrong either way.
Right, right. And I'm not excusing them. And, you know, his psychologist has even gone to meetings. He's gone to some seminars, brought information back and gave it to the school. He has totally 100% stood behind us and been great. Now the information that he provided to the school and the tactics that he thought my son benefited from.
Yep.
Was never even used. They never even tried to implement them or put them in the IEP, nothing.
And what level of, was he a psychologist? What
yeah.
level did the PhD psychologist?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. What level are they at school?
Not that, I'm sure.
Okay. So taking the opinion of somebody at the school that has, obviously, I've seen children's IEPs, I've been to IEPs. The school thought differently, but you as a mom, kudos for that, for sticking your neck out there for him and saying, standing up for your child that, no, absolutely not. He has autism and this is what you're going to have to deal with. So get over it,
Right. And it's not
easy. Hey, we've offered the training that you need. Get the training that you need. Document it. But by no
right.
means are you to restrain my child.
Right.
Especially if the child is not a danger to others around him.
Right.
They make it sound like this 6-year-old child is like somebody that can, bench press 350 pounds,
Exactly, right.
We're talking about a 50-pound, very small 6-year-old boy.
Right.
it's beyond me, Tina. And anyway, no words can describe it. Tina, we have 10 minutes remaining in the show. I just want you to be able to get out anything that maybe you feel that we haven't touched upon. Feel free to ask any questions. Just kind of open air time for you here. Is there anything that's weighing on your mind that that needs to be told, maybe an update on where to go from here or where you're at now, and if you can expel upon that. I'm not saying you should, but by all means, go right ahead.
Okay. I think that it's important as parents that you do stand up for your children. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. At this point, we're just kind of waiting it out to see what happens. There are other families that are experiencing difficulties within the school as well, as far as their children being sent home a lot. We have tried to get them to contact the attorney that we had hired, which is who dropped the due process, just so that he kind of is aware that there's a lot of things going on within the school that shouldn't be, whether it's discrimination or not. And they may not see it that way, but when you put it out there, that's what it really is. I don't know. I just hope that things get better, because I want to see my son have a normal life, as normal as it can be. I've seen the other day that somebody put on Facebook that these kids are not looking for a cure. They're looking for acceptance, and that is so very true.
So very true, yes.
He does great with his peers. His brother's in the same grade as him. They have a lot of the same friends. He doesn't have problems with peers at all. It's always, and he felt threatened, I believe. You know, when you have these adults bum rushing you, you know, he just got to where he felt threatened and was scared. You know, so now he sees his brother getting to see all their same friends and go on all these field trips that he should be going on, and he can't.
He can't.
Mm-hmm.
He's, in a way, I mean, he's not getting, are there any other children with him that aren't getting the same services? Like right along with your child?
No. He's been put over at the second grade school, even though he's in first grade, which was really hard because he knew nobody at all.
So your child is basically the only one that's left out?
Yes. You know, and my other son just brought home papers for a field trip to the zoo, you know, and this Easter egg hunt thing. And, you know, that's stuff that my other child isn't getting to do because he's at this other school.
Tina, is there anything about the school, maybe the teachers or the people that restrain your child, is there anything out there that possibly would lead you to believe that you're being set up at the time or anything?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think that in the beginning, even last year, I was just always, I always tried to be real helpful and understanding, because I understand that dealing with a lot of kids with disabilities isn't easy. And I did work in a behavioral hospital, so I understand it's all frustrating. I really do. So I was just always trying to be really understanding. So I never said anything. Even last year, all the restraints, I just never really said a lot of anything. This year was different. I just got to where, okay, now we have the final diagnosis. We know what's wrong with him. We're giving you tactics to use, and you're refusing to use them. So stop putting your hands on my kid. You know, if you want to really help him, try to take in the information we're giving you. And so then it just got to where it was very frustrating for me more than anything.
So they're dropping the charges, the due process. We're
right.
Financially right now, I know that we were talking about there were some people that were setting up an account, a widget account for you to help with legal fees.
Right.
Legal fees right now, is there any amount that you owe that?
No, we're right at this time. We're still trying to come up with a filing fee to try to at least get Dallas or get him into an all-day school.
Okay. What is the filing fee?
It is $500.
Okay.
Then, you know, any medical expenses as far as getting records and that sort of thing. You know, we'll have to pay for that up front, too.
Right.
Other than that, that's really it. The attorney's been really great as far as the fees.
Okay. So for right now, and I know that being a single mom, are you a single mom?
Yes.
Yeah. Being a single mom raising three kids.
Yes.
It must be very challenging, let alone having to pay for an attorney. So the funds are needed. And I'll be sure to update one of the persons that are setting up the account for Tina right at the moment. They're trying to work through something. They thought it was already set up, and then all of a sudden it's not linking properly. So they're trying to deal with that. And last I knew, just before the show started, it still wasn't working. So we're trying, he's trying, and this is all volunteerism. So I'm so glad to see people sticking their necks out for you and your son as well, Tina. And
right.
You have a lot of people supporting you, and I know you appreciate that. Is there anything that you would like to say?
No, I really appreciate everything, whether it's just advice and people listening,
right.
You know, all the support that we've had. You know, it's awesome to know that there's really other people out there, you know, that wants to help.
Exactly. Tina, I am going to mention the blog site. I'm going to go back to my face page here and find it as we speak. As we speak, I've got somebody else that's in need of help right now. So it's a never-ending process for people that are trying to do a little, you know, non-legal advocating on the behalf of parents such as you. There's, let's see, no go on the widget, sorry. but I do know the support is coming in for Tina, and it certainly is appreciated, but I want to be able to take you to, okay, where's the proper spot I'm looking for? That's the wrong one. We have a couple here. Okay, there it is. So if you can help Tina out in any way, I would encourage you to get in contact with Tina. Tina does have a Facebook site, but it's usually monitored separately because she doesn't have a computer, correct?
Right.
So anyway, it's helptinasboy.blogspot.com. That's helptinasboy.blogspot.com. helptinasboy.blogspot.com. And for anybody that's interested there, I know that there are many, many people on that site that are monitoring that site, as well as on Facebook. You can visit me at my link. You can link to me. My name is Scott Jackson. We have 90 seconds left, so I need to hurry. You can find me on Blog Talk Radio. Are you still there, Tina? Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. You can find me on Blog Talk Radio. I'm linked with Twitter. I'm linked with Facebook, MySpace, and we have all kinds of links and resources for parents like Tina that are going through this. Don't feel that you're going in alone, Tina. And I know Tina surely doesn't feel that way right now because there are a lot of volunteers out there fighting for her. One final word, Tina, is I know we only got a few seconds left, but I wanted to thank you for having the courage to come on this program, having the courage to stand up to your son and to be able to fight the system, and we're there for you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
Yeah.
Okay. You know how to get a hold of me? Do you have my cell phone number?
Is that the 705?
No. My cell phone number is area code 07.
What is it?
Area code 207.
Okay.
664.
Okay.
8185.
Okay.
Feel free to call me anytime you want, okay?
And okay, thank you.
You'll get a voicemail, and I'll usually pick right up on it, and I'll get right back to you.
Okay?
Okay. We're out there for you, Tina. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.